Good evening, good evening, good evening.
Good evening.
Glory to God, glory to God. Yes, indeed, I'm looking around. I'm trying to see how many second year faces I see. Oh, and hands, look at that. And the excitement of being a second year student. I know, I remember. Congratulations to all the second year students. Welcome to all of the first year students here on the Darrow campus and our first year students online. If Monday night was an indication of this year, I think we are in for a treat.
Amen.
Amen. As I always tell the students, as God began to, you know, elevate Apostle more and more, as Apostle goes up, then he takes us up right along with him. You know, no matter where you start off, you know, after this year, you're going to be a little bit higher because God has taken him higher. I've been looking forward to class. Every time I heard anything about prayer, my ears would perk up and I would say, oh, I'm going to be so glad to be able to share that with the students. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm looking forward to it. Every year we always say, oh, that was a good class. Oh, that was the greatest class, the greatest class. But then we've seen that every year gets better and better and better. Amen.
Amen.
And so we're not expecting anything less for this year. Let's pray. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, giving you glory and honor and praise, Lord God, for all that you have done, for all that you are doing. And Father, for all that you are going to do, we praise you and we honor you, Lord God, and thank you for our apostle. We thank you, Lord God, for the apostolic anointing that is upon him that flows, Lord God, down to us. We give you the praise for it. Holy Spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do acknowledge you. We do invite you. We do welcome you. We need you. As we learn more of you and of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we just thank you, Lord God. We just thank you and we just praise you for what you're going to say and what you're going to do tonight. We yield, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Just to get a couple of the little preliminaries out of the way, you have your handbooks, you know, always check your handbooks, always check your portals, as have been told to you before, because if there are any changes in the schedule, it's always going to be there. You'll always get a text message or an email. You'll get something to always, always let you know. The handbooks tell you when your exams are. You all know about the quizzes. Tomorrow evening, your quiz for this class will be posted. You have 7 days. To take the quiz, not just for you, but that's mostly for the ones that are the students that are online. You know, they have that. But I think I heard, did I hear Dr. Leroy Jr. say, suggested that you strongly, you know, do the quizzes. Because, you know, what I like to do, when I give quiz questions, these are things that I really, really want you to know. And a lot of times I'll tell you, you know, go back, look at the quizzes, and the quizzes will give you the basis for the exams. Some students say that I'm hard, first-year students, but I'm not. I'm not really, not, no, no, no. They say that they have to study, you know, when it's my exam. I don't think so. I don't know. I have met with students, like, during some of our major meetings. And, you know, I guess the questions, are, you know, they're really, really good questions. You know, always feel free to ask questions. But what I do ask you to do is write them down and give them to me, or you could text them to me or email them. I guess email them to me. And then either, you know, I will always try to get an answer back to the students. And the reason we do that was because I don't want to just answer a question just off the top of my head. Sometimes I may not be able to answer, and I may have to go to Dean, or I may have to go to Apostle. I may have to ask somebody, you know, about some of the questions, because I want to give you the best possible answer, you know, to your questions. But some of the conversations from past students, you know, most of them were graduates. You know, they said some things about the prayer class that I think we're going to be addressing. You know, like one of them said, you know, it was real, real good. She said, but what I don't understand is why we can't maintain it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, yeah, I pray, but why is it so hard? She didn't say I can't. Why is it so hard to maintain it? Well, you know, one of the things that we learned in this class was my flesh does not want to pray. Remember that? My flesh does not want to pray. And then I have an enemy, and, you know, he does not want me to pray. Because the enemy knows that when you have a consistent prayer life, then you become a greater threat to him. Amen? Amen. Because, you know, we know over in Jude it says, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, when I talk about prayer, a lot of times I'm talking about praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. We can pray in the understanding, but most of the times I'm talking about praying in the Spirit. In this class, we do pray. Amen? I'll come out, you know, one day, and I'll just give you a target. We'll read a scripture, and I'll say, we're going to pray in the Spirit 5, 10, 15 minutes about this. This is what we do in this class. And the reason I do that is because I know that we all learn differently. And I think to experience, you know, prayer this way, this is how we learn, because that's how I learn. I always like to tell students, I've been here at Word of Life Christian Center for a few years. But when I came, thank the Lord, I hung around a long time. I hung around the ministry for a couple years before I acknowledged my membership. Mm-hmm. You know, I would come. And I had such favor. Oh, my God. I had so much favor. I was allowed to take the foundational classes, and I wasn't a member. Isn't that something? I was not a member, but was allowed to take the foundational classes. Received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I think before I acknowledged my membership. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did. Pretty sure I did. But then I said, you know, I really didn't know how to pray. I found out I did not know how to pray. I knew Our Father and Bless, and that was all I knew. And I like to tell y'all that, especially, you know, online students also, because, you know, people think, well, yeah, they pray at that church. They pray. Yeah, we pray. We learn to pray. Amen. Amen. Apostle has been our example for years and years and years. What I like to tell students is Apostle is a prayer. And you do not want to come to his class without praying. You want to pray. And the reason, you know, for that is you want to build your spirit man to be able to receive. You know, you come in all cold, all dry. And what he's going to be revealing to you, because it's happened to me, it'll go straight over your head, you know. But when you're prayed up, then your spirit man is ready, you know, ready to receive what it is, not only Apostle, but also all the other instructors. You know, so spend some time in prayer before coming to your classes. On Monday night, Apostle began to explain to us about the apostolic. I said something, I'm pretty sure it was last year, and I just said it, you know, like in passing, and I said, oh, that sounds like apostolic praying to me. And I just said it, you know, but then I realized that as apostolic believers, our praying is going to be different. Amen. Amen. The way we're going to be learning to pray because of the apostolic anointing that is upon our apostle that's flowing down to us, it's going to be different. It's not going to be routine. On Monday night, remember, he was talking about the purpose of the apostolic, and these were not his exact words. He says it's to create heaven-to-earth government structure, remember, for the purpose of allowing the portals of heaven to be open. So you want to look at that. government structure and the portals of heaven to be open. These are the things, and I don't care how many times you hear a message on the apostolic, you think you got it. But every time I've heard it, it's like, oh my God, yeah, oh my God, I didn't know that, I didn't understand that. So, you know, always stay open, like when they're ministering about the apostolic, so that you can get a full understanding of what the apostolic is and what's your part as an apostolic believer, amen? And I remember divine order. These are just some of the notes that I had, just things that I wanted to just toss out at you. Oh, I forgot to tell you about your book, huh? The book that we use is by Mr. E.M. Bounds, and it says E.M. Bounds on Prayer. Now, the newer version looks different. I think it's green. Does any second? Yeah, it looks like this. That's the newer version. But I think it's all the same way. If the books are not in, they're expecting them in shortly. I will always tell you where I am in the book. This is 7 books in one, okay? This is what I always tell the students. I thought I had a plan that we would do the first half of the book 1 year and the second half of the book the next year. Well, I don't even know if we did, 5, 6 chapters? The whole first year, And it's like, oh my God, we didn't get halfway through the book at all. So this year, I think I'm supposed to be going towards the back of the book. But what I learned last year was to trust the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we're going to let the Holy Ghost decide where we're going to be going in the book. Our first lesson, you know, you're going to be really, really surprised. You're going to be really surprised. Amen? Amen. We might get to it tonight. We might be able to begin it, but not. Because I have a few other things. I like some preliminaries that I like to give the students. And I tell you, prayer has always been a part of the school. In the beginning, when I went to school, it was a little different. We didn't have a class like this. We came and we prayed for 1 hour. That's the way we did it. And then one of the second year students would always lead. You know, they would lead him. They would take turns. You know, second year students would take turns and they would lead prayer. But it's always been a part of the school. As I said, apostle is a prayer. He has been a prayer, you know, ever since I've known him. And he was praying before I even got here. And what I tell the students is that everything you see here was first saturated with prayer. He prayed about everything before it happened. Amen. And now you see the fruits of it. We're gonna look at a couple scriptures that I think are very, very pertinent to prayer. Let's look at Luke 18:1. Second year students are gonna say, yeah, I remember that from last year. Well, this is the beginning. Online students, Luke 18. And verse 1. And it says, and he, and they're talking about Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray. You see that? Always to pray and not to faint. Now, when I looked up that word faint, I found these definitions. It says lacking brightness, that if you don't pray, you're going to lack brightness. You're going to lack vividness. You're going to lack clearness. It says then you're going to lack loudness and you're going to lack strength. If you do not pray, you're going to lack strength. And then at the end, he says, faint is lacking courage, cowardly, and timid. Amen? Amen. Lacking courage, cowardly, and timid. This is what happens if you do not have a prayer life, if you're not praying. Amen? We all know that we are to pray to the Father, in the name of Jesus. Jesus told us in John 16, 23, 24, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. And we're in that day. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Verse 24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. And that's because he was here. Amen. He says, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Amen. Whatsoever ye shall ask. So we're going to be finding out, you know, we have been asking. We have been asking. So why have we not received? Jesus says, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name. And we've been saying, and in the name of Jesus. So this whole class is just designed to show us, you know, what may be some of the hindrances, what may be some of the blockages. I mean, Apostle has been telling us all year. I mean, the message on the soul, oh, my God. If you haven't heard any of those messages, listen to those, how the soul can block us from receiving. You know, we're talking about our mind. We're talking about our emotions. We're talking about our imagination. You know, all of those are part of our soul. Amen? Okay, I'm leaving two out. Come on. What's the other two? Will, intellect. I said emotions or feelings. I said imaginations. I remember saying imaginations. Insight. And will, yeah, your insight and your will, all of that makes up your soul, amen? And your soul can actually block your prayers. So you want to check your soul. What am I thinking? What am I imagining? You know, these are the things that we have been, taught by our apostle. Then, you know, and I think I referenced this early on, Jude 20, building yourselves up, remember? I told you that. Jude 20 says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. But this is how we build ourselves up. Apostle, if you go back up to verse 19, these are they who separate themselves sensual. That's not us. Amen. That's not us. Having not the Spirit, we got the Spirit. Amen. We got the Spirit. Thank the Lord. We got the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. And then there are two other scriptures that I want us to look at. Whenever you're thinking about or talking about prayer, these are some of the scriptures that you want to keep in mind. Mark 11. This is what I call my introduction. Hallelujah. Scriptures that I want you to know, be familiar with. You know, Jude 20, Luke 18, 1, hint, hint. Okay, Mark 11, 23, 24. For verily, well, let's go up to 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever. There we go with that whatsoever again. Whatsoever he saith. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray. See that? When you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Amen. So when you pray, you have to pray in faith. You have to believe when you pray. Have faith in your prayers. You know, don't get on your knees or stand up and hoping. Have faith. Amen. I find that the more time you spend with God, the more time you spend in the Word of God, building up your faith. You know, when you go to God, then you're going to go in faith. You're going to go believing. You know, it's not going to be if it be thy will. You're going to go knowing the will of God, understanding the will of God. Amen. And then, you know, apostles been, you know, about who we are. Know who you are. You know, I'm a child of the Most High God. We're going to touch on that in just a few minutes. And then Romans 8, 26 through 28. These are what I call foundational prayer scriptures that I always like to introduce the students to in this first class. Romans 8, 26 through 28. Everybody got it? And it starts off, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us. Amen. Maketh intercession for us with groanings. Apostle hinted on something the other day about those groanings. He hinted. Maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. Amen. So there are times we don't know what to pray for as we ought to. Amen. You can go right here and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Amen. To pray about that. Amen. And again, praying in the Spirit. Yes. So then I get down here. What is prayer? And I don't know if y'all going to laugh at this or not. How many people were at camp meeting? How many of you were in any of the morning services? Dr. Montrell ministered one day, and I don't remember exactly how he got to prayer, but he started talking about prayer, and he made a statement. He said, some people say prayer is communicating with God. I don't know where they got that from. My heart sunk. I said, oh, God. What have I been telling the students? You know, and it's like, oh my, oh gosh. I mean, I was almost at the point of being upset. It's like, what I've been telling the students? You know, what I've been telling the students? So, you know, I frantically went home, started looking for my notes. And I looked at myself, I said, okay, so how did I define prayer, you know, for the students? And it took me a little while to find it, you know, but Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost. But through his statement, I was able to see prayer differently. You know, he came back and he said some things. You know, if you know Dr. Montrell, you know, a lot of times he talks about our Western culture, our Western language, and then, you know, he talks about, you know, sometimes how God intended, the original intent. You know, he'll go back to the Hebrew and the Greek. But he says, you know, it is not communicating with, well, you know him, you know, communicating with God. I say, well, Lord, I say, what did I tell the students? And this is the definition that I found, praise the Lord, that I said to the students. Let me see. Okay. I said, prayer is communicating, fellowshipping, communing with God. That's what I said. It is a dialogue, meaning a two-way conversation, not a monologue, not just you talking. Amen. But you know, you talking and God talking. Amen. And see, we never think about God talking to us in prayer. But what I took away from what Dr. Montrell was saying, you know, when you think of communication, you just think of talking. I'm talking to you, you talking to me. But prayer is much, much more and much, much deeper than just me talking to God. You know, what I found out was that it is communing. C-O-M-M-U-N-I-N-G, communing with God. And that word communing, I'm going to give you a definition in a minute, but it implies an intimacy. It implies a oneness. Last year, at one point, we did prayer and the entire man. You know, it's not just words. You get your spirit, your soul, and your body has to be involved in prayer. Amen. But, you know, what Dr. Montrell, he sparked me. And it's like, oh, okay. I'm not going to use that word communication anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not communicating with God, because that just implies talking. I'm going to use communing with God. Now, this is what I found. Now, you're not going to believe this, but this was in the dictionary. That word commune, it means to share one's intimate thoughts or feeling. So intimacy is involved in prayer. To share one's intimate thoughts or feelings, and it says with someone, especially, this was in the dictionary, on a spiritual level. That's what they said. He said, the purpose of praying, I got this out of the dictionary. I couldn't believe that. You know, it's like, the dictionary say that? He says, the purpose of praying is to commune, C-O-M-M-U-N-E, with God. So we're talking about an intimacy with God. You're not just, you know, rattling off. I think Dr. Montrell's years ago, he taught vain babblings. It's not just vain babblings. I believe that when we pray, especially in the spirit, when we pray in tongues, that we can become so one, you know, with the Father, with the Lord Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, that God begins to reveal his mind to us. You know, that's when it happens. You know, and so a lot of times, you know, we think we're praying, but we have forgotten that intimacy with God. Yeah, we start off in the natural. You know, he's like, oh, yeah. You know, and he not saying nothing to me. Just keep praying. Amen. Just keep praying. Amen. And then when he gets your attention and you get his attention, then there's a communion that's going to happen. It's a fellowship. It's an intimacy. So these are words, fellowship, intimacy, oneness. Amen? We're talking about communion. Communion with God, not communication. See, he sparked me. I had to go look that up. I said, oh my God, yeah. Now, our author made some statements about prayer. He didn't really give a definition. He says, now listen at this. He says, okay, so y'all got my definition, by the way, online students, y'all got my definition? Prayer is communing with God. Communing, not communication. And again, it is still two-way. It's a dialogue. It's not just you talking to God, telling him all what you need, all what you want. You know, it's you praying and asking God. And through apostolic praying, we're going to, as apostolic believers, you know, we're going to come to the point where we're not even asking too much for stuff for us anymore. We're going to be asking, Lord, what you want. Yeah, what you want. You know, what is your will? What you want me to do? Where you want me to go? How you want to do this? You know, that's what prayer is all about. And in the midst of doing that, then God will go ahead on and he'll take care of your needs. You know, you don't even have to ask him. I heard Apostle say that just the other day. You don't even have to ask him too much. You know, because you're concerned about the will of God, what God wants to be done. Amen. And so this is what you're going to be praying. The author stated, he said, prayer is a voice that goes into God's ear, and it lives as long as God's ear is open to holy pleas. Now, this is a statement that's in your book. When you get your books, it's going to be in book 1, chapter 1, somewhere in there. Amen. He says, Prayer is a voice that goes into God's ear, and it lives as long as God's ear is open to holy pleas, as long as God's heart is alive to holy things. And guess what I said? That's forever. Amen. That's forever. You know? And then again, he said, our prayers live forever. I don't know if y'all remember us saying that last year. Our prayers live forever. So don't you think that, you know, those prayers that you're praying for your loved ones, I prayed them last year, you know, and nothing happened yet. But you prayed. If you prayed in faith, believing, amen, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Amen. Just keep thanking him for it. Just keep thanking him for it. Apostle made some statements that I caught regarding prayer that I wanted to share with this in this first session. He said, prayer is our powerful weapon of warfare. Yep. Listen. Prayer is our powerful weapon of warfare to declare we have won. Isn't that something? Amen. To declare. First of all, you know, what I called was, it's a weapon. Amen? And then he says, to declare that we have won. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. You know, I got so excited when I hadn't been meditating and meditating and reading and meditating. I guess I was doing more reading and meditating because I never got the revelation. I never got it. But Lord, Apostle came out one morning. Thank the Lord. He came out one morning and he said, and this is the revelation. You know, my ears just perked up. You know, I said, oh, man. In Ephesians 1, verse 3. Okay. When he said declaring that we have won, that implies it's already done. You see what I'm saying? And when we read Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, see that? Hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. And the revelation is, it's already done. So if it's already done, you don't have to ask for it, right? Amen. When you go to God, you'll go like Jesus did. Jesus says, I know you hear me always. You know what I'm saying? You know, you hear me always. So that's the kind of praying that we want to be able to do. We're going to be looking at some of Jesus' prayers. You know, but, you know, he didn't go begging. You know, he said, I know you always hear me when I pray. And you notice he didn't really ask for nothing then. You know, he said, but for the sake of these people here. But for the sake of these people. You know, I'm doing this, and then he hollered, Lazarus, come forward. And what did that Lazarus do? He came forward. Amen. It's like, oh my God. You know, that's the kind of it's already won, already done. Yes, indeed. It's a prayer is a powerful weapon. It's a powerful weapon of warfare to declare that we have won, as we see in Ephesians 1:3. Amen. Jesus prayed. Look, I even had it. I wrote it down. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Amen. 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 That's what he said. And then our apostle says, we pray from the kingdom within us. Now you have to have been here because he taught us about the kingdom. Amen. He taught us about the kingdom. Over in Luke 17:21, I need you to turn there. Some of these I just read. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Luke 17:21. And in Luke 17:21, Jesus says, neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Amen. The kingdom of God is within you. And one of the statements that Apostle made was, we can pray from the kingdom within us, or we pray from the kingdom with. But you got to know that the kingdom is within you. You have to know that you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. Amen. As a matter of fact, you have a dual citizenship. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God, and you are a citizen of this natural world. As believers, apostolic believers, we want to understand that our citizenship in the kingdom of God, our sonship, our daughtership, you know, is the kingdom of God. It overrules our citizenship in this natural world. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Know that, know that, know that, know that. So that when you pray from your kingdom of God citizenship, amen, you know, and knowing it and understanding it, knowing it and understanding it. So you have a right to overrule whatever is going on in the natural world. The natural world, okay. For example, in the natural world, we get all these doctor's reports, medical reports, negative reports, and they say, you are sick. But the kingdom of God, our citizenship there says, with Jesus' stripes, you are healed. So you take your citizenship from the kingdom of God, and then you attack the citizenship in this natural world. And you can do the same thing. You can do the same thing with lack, with debt, with confusion, with trouble, anything. Just see what the Word of God has to say. What does the kingdom of God say? I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. What does that say? And then take that when you pray and come against whatever this natural world is saying. Amen? Because your citizenship in the kingdom overrules your citizenship in the natural world. Amen? And I just thought, I said, oh my, pray from the kingdom within us. You know, and when we really, really catch hold of that, when we really, really catch hold of that, then we're going to begin to see more results in our prayer life. And then one day in prayer meeting, for the sake of online students or students who are now familiar with the ministry, we pray before every service here. Every service, we saturated with prayer. And one of those mornings, he came out and he says, "Pray. We're praying in three dimensions. God is our source. Jesus is the sacrifice, and the Holy Spirit is the supplier." Amen. Three dimensions. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. All right. So we've talked about the definition that we're going to be using of what prayer is. You've got to know that prayer is spiritual also. It is spiritual. When you begin to pray, and I have a little note here, especially in the spirit or in tongues, prayer is also supernatural. Spiritual, and it's supernatural. Amen? In 1 Corinthians 14, you can turn there, and you probably know it. And this one is talking more about praying in the spirit, praying in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit, see there we go, in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. And then if you go down to verse 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, look at that, my spirit prayed, spiritual, see that? My spirit prayed, but my understanding is unfruitful. Verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Amen. So you know, we do pray in understanding. There's a time to pray in understanding, But I think I get, what's the word I'm looking for? I can go further when I pray in tongues. Because when I pray in my understanding, you know, pretty soon I'm going to run out of some words, you know. It's like, what? Yeah, Lord, you understand. You know, we say, you understand. Yeah, he understand, but, you know, do you understand? You know, are you understanding at this point? Lord, you know, and I think one of the authors even said, well, if he knows, then why do we have to tell him? Well, he want to know that you know.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, he's in heaven. He's saying, yeah, I know, but do you know? Do you really, really, really know? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so we looked at that. It is spiritual and it is supernatural. Now, in this class, you know, we will sometimes focus on different kinds of prayer. Let's look at Ephesians 6. Oh, I don't have but 10 minutes. Ephesians 6. Now this is a scripture that, you know, that shows us, I don't want to say kinds or manners, but we saw one over in Romans 8, and you know, when he talked about intercession, okay? And I think this year we may be talking about the prayer of intercession a little bit. That's where you pray for somebody else. You know, you standing in the gap. You know, for them. You know, every now and then situations come up and, you know, a person can't pray for themselves. They need somebody to pray on their behalf. So you're gonna take their place. That's not Dr. Montrell taught us that too. You know, you're gonna take the place of that person in prayer when they get to the point that they cannot do it for themselves. Amen. Some of them just don't know. And you have to do it for them. So over in Ephesians 6, and then we look at verses 18 through 20. And it says, praying, look at that, always, with all prayer. See, all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Mm-hmm. And he goes on, he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Talking about all manner of prayer over in verse 18. And in this class, we will be, you know, touching on some of the different kinds of prayer. As I mentioned, one of them is intercession, and then, you know, just petition, you know, asking. It's okay to ask, but make sure it's in accordance with his will.
Amen.
That's all you have to do. And how you know it's in accordance with his will? From his word. If it's not in the word, better try to leave it alone. Amen. 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 Okay. I have a couple words that I want y'all to just write down and begin to think about. One of the things that, you know, I have just been on me, you know, just recently, and it's all this thing of obedience, just obedience, and not only obedience to the Word of God, obedience to the Holy Spirit, and then obedience when it comes to your man and your woman of God. Online students, obedience when it comes to your man and your woman of God. You know, a lot of times, and I hope I don't get in no trouble. you know, when apostle, let's say he calls a special meeting, you know. I guess in obedience, I mean, he's our apostle, he's our pastor, we should be here.
Amen.
Amen. You know, if he called a meeting, we ought to be here. to not be here is disobedience, as far as I'm concerned. And so, you know, we have to learn how important it is under this apostolic anointing to walk in obedience, not only to the Word of God, not only to the Holy Spirit, but to your man and your woman of God.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I believe when the body of Christ gets to the point that, you know, we really, really learn and begin to walk in obedience, man, this thing it's gonna tip. It's gonna tip. It's gonna be enough of us in obedience to just go ahead on and carry on out, you know, this will of God for us. Because see, like Apostle told us on Monday night, God is getting ready to do some things. Amen. But in order for him to really, really do it, we have to be obedient. You know, things that he tell you to do, you know, he gonna say, well, I mean, I can't give them nothing else because they didn't do what I told them the last time. And, you know, and I find myself having, you know, years ago, Apostle told us this. He says, go back and find out the last thing he told you to do that you didn't do. Amen. And then do that, you know, and then he can give you other assignments. We're going to be learning about prayer in this class. The Holy Spirit is going to begin to talk to you.
Amen.
And he's going to tell you to do some things.
Amen.
Amen. He's going to tell you. I'm serious. It's going to happen. That's just where we are right now. We're in this place. We're in this. We're at this level where he's going to begin. It's a dialogue, remember?
Yeah.
You know, and he's going to begin to tell you some things. And then you're going to have to get up. And you don't have to say, oh, hallelujah, he spoke to me, he spoke to me. Yeah, he spoke to you. But what did he tell you to do? We have to learn to follow instructions. I've been on that for 2 years now. We have to learn to follow instructions. Follow instructions from the Word. Follow instructions from the Holy Spirit. Follow instructions from your man and your woman of God. Amen.
Amen.
And then when we get there, then God is going to really be able to move in us and among us the way he wants to move.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of times, you know, we just think about this word, obey. Mm-hmm. And we think, oh, no. Yeah. Bible talks about obey. All right. Mm-hmm. If you be willing and obedient. Yeah. If you be willing and obedient. You'll eat the good of the land. You see, you want the good of the land. You know, you want it. I know I want it. You know, if you want it, then he says, you know, you gotta be obedient. You know, amen. So just these words, and I want us to know that when the Bible is talking about obey, when the Bible is talking about keeping, when the Bible is talking about doing, you know, Jesus even said, and do them. Let's see, I did write something else down. He said. Oh my. Oh no, he said, oh keep, yeah, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me. So you know, keeping, did I say keeping?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said keeping, obeying, and doing. And we're talking about towards God, towards the Holy Spirit. I have a note in prayer, and towards your man or your woman of God. And the key here is following instructions. Amen.
Yeah.
So we got it. Well, let me put it this way. The planned class, you know, when you get your books, is going to begin. Now, look, I'm not even starting in book one, y'all. We're going to start in book two, chapter 9, prayer and obedience.
Amen.
That's just where I was led for us to start. We're going to start there. Prayer and obedience, book two, chapter 9. So we got it?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Amen, amen,
amen.
Y'all have an enjoyable night. I got a minute left, but that's it. I'll see y'all next week.